Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
You're a Jew with a tattoo.
I'm Jewish with tattoos, but you can't be buried in a Jewish cemetery if you have
You have realism tattoos.
Yeah, this Very is a woman crazy. Holding her intestines like a baby with this leader, Kenny Lyric, on it.
And that one?
This is Courtney Love and Amy Winehouse.
That's great. I wonder how those are going to age.
I don't really care. I think I like the idea a lot of being an old lady with, like, really nasty, saggy skin that has tattoos all over it.
How old are you?
I'm 21.
Yeah, we'll see.
I mean, I just, like, I don't know. There's, I probably I will change my tune, but, like,
You won't change your tune about wanting, it makes you feel better aging and having tattoos, because you're like, at least people will know that
I fucked. Cool.
Yeah. But you won't like the idea of, once you get to a certain age, once everything starts falling, you're like, what is going on? It's crazy.
I'm sure it will be harrowing, but kind of stoked for the idea. Like, I want to be an old lady with, like, hair down to my fucking ankles, yeah. And, like, my skin is just falling and sagging, and I have all these, like, incomprehensible tattoos on me. And I think, like, me as I am now would be an amazing old lady.
Yeah.
I think I already sort of have, like, a kind of, like, classic Yenta in the hut, matchmaker, make me a match kind of vibe. So I want to, like, lean further into that. I don't think, like, Botox doesn't seem like it's my truth.
Yeah.
Just doesn't seem like
you'll
it's
see
my
you'll see I mean I don't get Botox now, but now I'm 30, almost 5, all of my friends are getting it, and you're like, if all of us are getting it, then I have to get it.
You don't have to get it.
You kind of do, though. I'm telling you, like, when you walk on, because you're on a podcast with another 35-year-old, their fucking forehead looks like it's like a translucent fucking gecko, and you look like you're fucking dying,
right? But aren't we in this game to disseminate our ideas?
No, the question is, aren't we in this game together? This is my theory. If we're in this game together as comedians, no Botox. You can't do it.
I agree. I think
it needs to be a union rule. We need a union and no Botox.
I think I really don't. I don't see that in my future, because I feel like, I mean, I'm somebody who, like, my whole life has been told by other people that I'm, like, dog fuck hideous. And so I'm kind of just like,
you're not dog fuck hideous.
Well, thank you.
You just
Jordan.
Have intense eyebrows.
I have intense eyebrows.
And you had a gnarly, the bang thing that you had for a while was gnarly.
The bangs were gnarly.
It was fine, but you were also, I think you were a little chubbier and you had the bangs.
When was I chubby?
Were you not? Maybe the bangs just,
when you met me, I was 80 pounds.
Really?
Yeah.
You look tiny now, though.
Well, thank you. I've grown into myself quite nicely.
I'm just trying to imagine why. You know how sometimes people, I mean, if you haven't been heavy before, sometimes you'll just, like, gain 5 pounds and people will be like, you look
just
bad.
You just bestowed your own chubby trauma upon me.
I did.
Just saw that happen right now.
Well, I was trying to support you.
I was never chubby. That was never my truth. I've been skinny fat, but only in Atlanta, Georgia. And then the second I hit
like
a coast
again. Like a veal cow that doesn't move around enough? Like squishy, like I could cut through it with a knife, like Play-Doh.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been flabby. I've been pudgy. But I've never been full-blown, like, fat with a
But you've had a transformation since I first met you. What is that?
Well, when
skin?
When you
Your
met me,
beautiful.
I was 10 hours in withdrawal from benzodiazepines.
Perfect. That's exactly what
And
we're
then you
for.
Were on a hot mic telling people that you did not like my personality.
Yeah, I hated you when I first met you.
Yeah, I was a junkie. I was, like, literally tweaking.
You were acting like a junkie.
Yeah, I was tweaking the house down boots.
Yeah. But what was the hot mic with Viegas?
Yeah, with Nick. And then I did Stavi's World. And then Stav started saying, you know, Jordan told me that she, like, really hated your personality when she met you. And I was like, thanks, Stavros. That's
I
nice.
Did hate your personality when I met you.
Yeah. But I'm actually, like, a really nice person.
I know. My theory was about you, that your name was coming up constantly. And all these people that I really liked you. And I was like, really? Because when I met her, I was about to strangle her.
Right. Well, I think that off rip, you are sort of somebody that doesn't like to give women the benefit of the doubt or open your heart to them.
No, 100%. I hate them immediately.
Yeah. And why is that?
Misogyny.
Yeah.
I'm a misogynist.
It's gonna kill you from the inside out. It's gonna eat you.
I'm doing fine.
You're doing fine? But don't you think that one day you will be like, damn, like, what if all these men that I've, like, banked on lifting me up so much?
Oh, no, all my friends are women. All my friends are women.
All your friends are women?
Yeah. They're not. They're a coven of extremely, like, workers. They all are.
Are they also all misogynist or masculine?
No, but they're all, like, highly intelligent, very capable, don't...
As are my own.
Right. But when somebody has... when somebody comes in hot with the kind of baby, little baby Muppet thing...
Did I have little baby Muppet
You have little
on?
Baby Muppet vibes.
I have little baby Muppet vibes?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I was, like, fully on drugs that night. Like, fully... like, Nick had just made me flush an entire dime bag full of pills.
But also, if you have a panic anxiety like I do, where it's just anxiety all the time, and men who are fully retarded human beings come up to you and they're like, "What's up, dude?" And then a woman comes up to you and they're like... you basically have to stiff-arm the woman or you will panic and die.
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's a reason why I sort of keep gay guys at an arm's distance.
I can't hang out with gay guys. Gay guys are further down the list for me than women.
Gay guys absolutely love me, but sometimes in a way where I'm like, you want to shave my skin off of my arms and wear it as gloves. Like,
totally.
You see your own suffering in me, and you think that we are each other, and not always.
I never trust a woman who has a gay male best friend. I'm like, you've just removed all of the hyper-intelligence, the analytical nature of a woman, and have all the cattiness in a friend. And just, you think that's okay?
I mean, I love gay guys, but I'm not a girl that is exclusively friends with gay guys. Gay guys revere me in a way that is not exactly so conducive to, like, a close, intimate friendship. I am friends with gay guys, but, like, I have never been, like, a hag. Like, a true hag where it's, like, a spiritual bond between the gay guy and the girl.
Yeah.
I've never really had something
like
that.
I've had that.
You've had, like, a true, intimate...
Yeah, I have a lot of gay guy friends who I love a lot. But when it's their best, when their number one best friend, like, I think if you're a hetero man, your best friend should be a hetero man because you have to understand each other. Or if you're a woman and your best friend is a guy, I'm like, dude, you have to have a female best friend. You have to, like, be able to navigate the world.
I have a female best friend and I have a male best friend.
I have a lot of female best friends and a lot of male best friends. The female hate is, it's just, I mean, it's also just any representation. Is it dead?
It's dead.
That sucks, dude.
Place
I'm really sorry
window
for that.
Dressing. Keep going.
The thing with the female hate is any... Well, first of all, you were, like, doing something annoying.
Yeah, I was
oh, you were dominating backstage.
I was high on drugs.
But you were anxiously running your mouth.
Right, because I was high on drugs that I was addicted to. And I knew that it was the last time I would ever be able to take them. Because I had just spent the last 2 days asleep because I was in a blackout from taking so many drugs.
It's crazy how different you look.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was 80 pounds and my skin was yellow because I wasn't eating food and I was only drinking, 2 liters of carrot juice a week.
Yeah, so you couldn't be present to anything that people were saying. So no. You were just saying things and then somebody would say something and then you just keep saying what you were saying.
I was in a blackout. When you met me, I was in a full-blown blackout.
Right, but then what happened? I'll tell you what happened. I saw you in multiple things. I watched your Instagram stories where you have takes that I agree with. And I said, please do the podcast because I actually do think I like you.
I think that you do like me.
Yeah, yeah. I knew that I liked you from seeing your stuff. And I was like, oh, that was a bad first day. Also, I was coming off of a breakup. I was fucking furious. I did not want to be there at all.
You didn't want to do the struggle bus?
I didn't want to do the struggle bus. There's nothing that I hate. And I did it because I love Nick and I will do what he tells me to do. But yeah, going up and just being like, this is how bad my life is. And how people being like, it's the same reason why, like, Are You Garbage is sometimes hard for me. Because I get off the pod and they're like, wow, your life sucked. And
what
I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
What do they do on Are You Garbage?
They just tell you if you're garbage or not. It's just like, it's one of those things where I'm like already heated. I'm like defending my bad parents. You know what I mean?
You did a pretty good job.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember like kind of coming in and out of my like benzo stupor and being like, Jordan's crushing. But yeah. I don't remember like most of the evening. I do remember that randomly at the end of that evening, I made out with somebody.
Yeah,
and it was
rough.
My first time that I had kissed somebody in like 2 years.
Who?
Goth girl that I'm friends with. But it was my first time meeting her.
Are you bi?
Yeah. It was my first time that I met her, and I, because I was like still had drugs in my system that usually like keeps up the sort of like chastity belt that I bestow upon myself, it like had knocked that down and I was like, let's fucking tongue kiss at the bar. And so we tongue kissed at the bar.
Starting something new isn't just hard, it's terrifying. So much work goes into this thing that you're not entirely sure will work out. My voice is fucked. And it can be hard to make that leap of faith. Trust me, I know. When I started this podcast, my business, it's not really business, I wasn't even sure what I was doing. What if no one listens? What if I make a fool of myself? What if nobody buys my products? My nails are dirty. Now I know that I was right in believing in myself and launching my podcast / business, despite all the fears and hesitation. It helps when you have a partner like Shopify on your help. Sound effect cha-ching. Shopify is a commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world. 10% off all e-commerce in the U.S. from household names like all the brands you like. Get started with your own design studio with hundreds of ready-to-use templates. Shopify helps you build a beautiful online store that matches your brand style. Maybe I should use this. I don't have an online merch brand. Maybe I should freaking use my own shit here. What kind of brands? American Apparel? What's a brand I like? Champion? What's this brand? Is there mold on the shirt? Okay. What if people haven't even heard about my brand? Shopify helps you find a customer with customers with easy-to-run email and social media campaigns. And what if I get stuck? Shopify is always around to share advice with their award-winning 24/7 customer support. Tackle all those important tasks in one place, from inventory to payments to analytics and more. No need to save multiple websites or try to figure out what platform is hosting the tool that you need. Everything is all in one place, making your life easier and your business operations smoother. And did I mention That iconic purple Shop Pay button that's used in millions of businesses around the world? It's why Shopify has the best converting checkout on the planet. It also helps boost conversations, meaning less carts going abandoned and more sales for you. It's time to turn those what-ifs into cha-ching with Shopify today. Sign in for your $1 per month trial today at shopify.com/Jordan Jensen. Go to shopify.com/Jordan Jensen. That's shopify.com/Jordan Jensen. Cha-ching. You know what's weird? I feel like my generation developed this thing. It's like, I mean, my friend group calls it like alien style, where you're like this kind of subculture freak, where you have like the weird goths and you also have the person who wears like, you know, the giant Joe Boxer shirt with some weird, maybe like too tight flannel pants that you got for Christmas from your mom. And then maybe you have like a watch with then too many bracelets, something like that. And I feel like your generation is now doing alien style.
Yeah.
But it's so cool.
Yeah.
And I think there's so much inherent hostility from my generation towards your generation, because definitely, you're like shit posting and all of those things are like, they're just mirroring what our fucking weird disposable camera pictures were. And it's cool, where we got the shit kicked out of us for it. So I was thinking about just making out with a weird goth girl, how that's something that we would do in high school, and then you'd get called a dyke and you'd get ripped on for like weeks.
But yeah, you can like, just make out with a cool goth girl.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Is she really cool?
She's really cool.
Does she listen to goth music or is she fake goth?
She's real goth.
Really?
She's real goth. Her entire apartment is red and black exclusively. And she only dresses in red and black. She has bright, like a shock of bright red curly hair, and she only dresses and buys objects in red and black. So like even her walls in her apartment are red and black.
Would you hook up?
I like think I was sort of high and realized I like, this was like 2 years ago, I realized I sort of like her as a friend more. And then thereafter we like just resigned to being friends.
And you were addicted to Klonopin?
Xanax, Klonopin, Ativan, and ketamine.
How were you taking it? I also had those.
But really?
Of course. Because I was addicted to Coke. Which makes you addicted to Xanax.
I was never addicted to Coke.
That's great.
I didn't really like Coke very much.
No, I feel like your little heart would stop.
I liked it when I was first trying it. And then very quickly, I fell victim to the phenom known as Coke diarrhea.
Of course. And so I was but just, that's the best. It's a weight loss program.
Exactly. But I don't like want to be at a party shitting out of my ears and everybody's like, Ivy's hogging the bag. And it's like, actually, I'm trying to find something to wipe with.
Yeah. Totally. You know? I've literally had Coke shits and wiped with a... like a
toilet paper roll.
No, of course. I mean, that's, but a dish towel. One time I wiped with the toilet paper roll my vagina and I put it in the trash, and then my friend came out of the bathroom and she was like, there's nothing to wipe with. So I pulled the toilet paper roll out of the trash and I was like, I already wiped that. And she was like, that sucks.
Wow. Yeah. And what did she have to use?
She used the same toilet paper roll that I had thrown in the trash. That's, she was like, sweet. I took one out of the trash.
That's really sweet.
Yeah.
That is really
she
sweet.
She died. She's dead.
Oh.
Yeah.
How did she die?
Blood clot.
What was it caused by?
Paralysis. She was paralyzed from the neck down.
Even when she was pissing?
When she pissed, she had full mobility of her body.
How did she get paralyzed?
Cyst wrapped around her spinal cord.
Whoa. Just like a freak thing?
I mean, it was growing for a long time. There was a lot of, like, I gave her a lot of neck massages thinking it was like a crick in her neck, but it was not. It was,
OMG.
Yeah. Isn't that
crazy? You always got to pay attention to them cricks.
No, you don't pay attention to them. Don't. You'll drive yourself crazy. Let it ride.
let it ride, let the whip ride, yeah. And die.
I mean, I think if me or you had that level of pain, we'd probably go see somebody.
Right, I'm whiny. I have a very low threshold for pain.
Relentless pain like that? Yeah, but I think you'd probably do the massage thing, then maybe the acupuncture, then maybe chiropractor, and then maybe the MRI, whereas she, like, it was a lot longer, and then the MRI.
What was, she just had, like, a high pain tolerance, or was sort of, like,
she's like a boss. She's like a gay lesbian.
She was a gay lesbian. Yeah. So she was too embarrassed to maybe face that.
No, she was just like...
She didn't give a fuck.
I'm too busy. Yeah.
She's too busy. Wow. And now she is dead.
Yeah. I'm saying this when I just canceled that MRI that I had tomorrow.
Oh, what was it for?
I have, like, a lump in my vagina.
Jordan?
What?
The same thing happened to me.
Really?
I had a lump in my vagina, and I had to get an MRI, and I had not, this was 2 years ago, I had not met my insurance deductible yet, and so I had to pay $600 for it out of pocket, and it was a fucking nightmare, because I did not have $600 at the time, and I had, like, a massive lump in, like, golf ball sized, underneath my, like, left outer labia, and the gynecologist...
Skeens? Was it Skeens gland? What was it?
It was a Bartholin cyst.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was a Bartholin cyst, but the doctor that felt it for me, the gyno, this, like, hot lady gyno who I know is, like, when a doctor's hot, it's like, I know that during medical school you were, like, twerking on the wall and making the boys watch you. Like, you were not hitting the books. Yeah. And it was evident here because she was like, I've never seen anything like this. And I was like, what?
That's so common.
She was like, this is a lump that I've never seen anything like this. I thought it was a Bartholin cyst, but the way that it's positioned, it seems like it might be a tumor. You might have a massive tumor in your outer left labia. You have to get an MRI immediately. $600 later, I'm convinced for like a month that I have vaginal cancer.
Yeah.
I'm like ready to sign my will and testament. And then it comes back. It was just a Bartholin cyst. I go back to that same hot lady doctor. She's like, okay, we're going to do a surgery on you, like a minor surgery where we kind of like cut it open and drain it, like to excise it.
Awesome.
And then she realizes when she's about to do that, she's like, wait, I could kind of just finger you to drain it.
Ew.
So then she just like kind of finger fucks me a little bit, and then it drains. So I didn't even have to.
Why didn't
you
do that yourself? How did you not fuck with it enough to figure that out?
But I didn't. I don't be putting my fingers on the inside.
I fuck with this thing every day, trying to figure out if there's some way for it. Mine's like a marble.
Okay.
And it's just like there's a ligament that ends like this, and mine just has like a little ball.
Where is it on you? You felt it on the inside?
It's like if you were fingering me. It's like beyond both labia, inside a little
bit. It's inside.
Yeah.
Mine was I could feel it externally.
No.
Like through the skin.
You can't feel mine externally. You'd have to finger me if you feel it.
How did you discover it?
Fingering myself.
Wow. You do that.
I think, yeah, once a month maybe.
I tried putting it inside one time in college just to see if I could, and it just sort of felt like having my hand in my pocket.
Yeah, it's weird to do it. I don't know why I was inside. I think you could feel it a little bit from the outside. And I think I also maybe was like shaving or something, but I don't remember it. I remember feeling it and being like, that's weird. And then I obsessed about it and then it didn't get any bigger. And sometimes when I have sex, then I can feel a little bit more because it's a ligament. So it kind of tugs. If it gets tugged, it tugs all the way this ligament.
You've seen a gynecologist about it?
Yeah, I saw a urologist and a gynecologist. And they said, it's fine to get an MRI, but I don't want to get an MRI because I don't want to sit still. Did you sit still?
Yeah, I was laying in a machine, and it was a pelvic MRI with enterogram. So they, like, inject you with, like, a radioactive kind of thing that makes you glow in your pelvis so that they can see the contrast.
How high up did the thing go? Were you able to move your arms?
Yeah.
Really?
I think so.
It wasn't a panic attack?
No, I've had so many MRIs. MRIs are not that bad. They're really not that bad.
You get a lot of MRIs?
Yeah, I have a lot of health problems. I have terrible genetics. So I've been in a lot of machines like that. They're not that bad, especially, like, sometimes they can play music for you. They'll give you headphones, and they can play music for you so that you don't really hear, like, the blasting, like, din of the MRI machine. So the MRI tech and I in East Elmhurst, Queens, when I was getting my pussy looked at, we listened to Morrissey together, and that was nice.
That's really nice.
Mm-hmm. It was comforting.
And then what are your other health things?
Okay, I have celiac. Nick also recently just got diagnosed with celiac, so we're kind of like a dynamic duo in that sense. It's like the only thing really about us that's similar besides like our palpable sadness.
You guys are best friends?
Mm-hmm.
How do you like his girlfriend?
I love her. She's wonderful. Great. She's so cool.
Tall. They're tall.
Tall. They're tall.
They are tall.
Apparently, like, they ChatGPT'd it, and apparently they're in like the 0.6% of percentile of how tall couples can be.
It'd be fun for you to be in between them and do the...
Yee. Monkey in the Middle.
Yeah.
They would beat me in Monkey in the Middle. I would never catch the ball.
No, not Monkey in the Middle, but you go 1, 2, 3, swing.
Oh, they swing me in the air. That would be nice.
That would be nice.
I would really like that. I miss getting
Did you ever fuck Nick?
No.
Nice.
No.
That's huge.
Yeah, we don't, it's completely asexual. And it's wonderful. It's like a very deep, beautiful, spiritual relationship, but it's like completely asexual. Like, I would follow him to the end of the earth. Like, I think he and I will know each other forever, and we will never have sex, and that is perfect.
Yeah, I have friends like that.
I'm also just, like, not a person that's very interested in sex, either way.
You're asexual a little bit?
A little bit, yeah. I think it's, like, mostly sort of anxiety and autistic and trauma-based, but it's, like...
You have rape?
No.
Nice.
No rape.
That's great.
No rape. I just behave as such.
What if you were with another autistic guy?
I've been with people that were, like, sexually dysfunctional.
I don't even know if you're autistic. Do you know that?
Doctor diagnosed.
Same. I mean,
really?
Not really, but yeah. I've had doctors say you might be autistic.
Have you gone through, like, the full scope of testing? It takes, like, a month.
You did a month-long autism test?
Mm-hmm.
With, like, the textures and all that shit?
That's not the textures? That's not what it is. It's like a long interview. It's like basically the best podcast of all time.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Where
you're asked like the deepest questions about yourself and you have to answer and then they can find out through that. It's crazy. It was a crazy experience. I was like, I wish all journalists could give me what this woman is giving me. It was great.
Yeah, but you're highly perceptive. You understand people's emotions, clearly.
I understand people's emotions, but...
You geek out? You geek out?
I geek out.
Really? How?
I geek out. Yeah, I'm like...
Like slap your head kind of thing?
Yeah. When I was a kid, it was really bad. I was like really like... If anything freaked me out, it was like immediately like smacking my head against a wall until I was bleeding.
I had that, but it was OCD.
I have OCD as well.
Yeah.
Well, I had it like really bad when I was a child and a teenager. And then I did in eighth grade like an OCD outpatient program where I was like in a... mental hospital for like 6 hours a day.
Doing exposure therapy?
Mm-hmm.
And what was contaminating?
It knocked me out of it. I was like really scared about food. I was really scared. I was very like anal retentive. Like it was all these things. I was like had just like very kind of strict routines. But I was sort of like the least crazy person in there because it was a really hard, I was at UCLA. It was a really like weird experimental exposure response prevention program that only accepted like maybe four people at a time, and the other people that were in the program were like really poorly adjusted, and I was already sort of like I ended up having to leave the program to like go be on television. Like I was already sort of like beginning my life. I just had this like one hurdle to get over, which was like my crippling, disgusting, like nervous breakdown inducing obsessive compulsive disorder, and it did knock it out of me.
Really?
Yeah, it worked.
Like what? Were they like eat the spinach? It's wet.
It was basically just like, well, like all the other kids in the program, their fears were things that I sort of ran to, which was interesting. So I would find that they would like kind of get wacky and use me to trigger other children in the program. So like there was a girl, for instance, who like most of the other kids' fears were surrounded around being bad, like being perceived as being bad people or amoral or whatever.
Like scrupulosity.
Yeah. But I was already an internet raconteur. Like I was already like actively getting canceled on the internet for talking shit about people and like being a prankster and having an offensive sense of humor. So like that was just like not even anything I could fathom. And so they would have me sort of like speak the way that I do openly make the kids sit there and listen to me and then track their and do coping skills until they felt like they weren't having panic attacks.
Like you'd be like, I think that bitch is fat over there.
Yeah.
That person's ugly.
Yeah.
I would fuck somebody's wife.
Basically, yeah.
Wow.
And they had to like, they would have all the kids sit and I would speak that way. And then they'd be like, okay, Sabrina, rate yourself 1 through 10. How do you feel? We're going to try to get you down to a 9 now. Ivy, go. And then I would just say a joke that I would say on Instagram. So it was
what'd you get canceled for?
Just like being like a troll. Like, I mean, it's like happened so many times over now where it's like.
But what's an example?
The recent thing they're trying to get me for is like making a joke about JonBenet Ramsey. Like this video on Reddit has like of me making a joke about JonBenet Ramsey has like.
Is it like a pedophile joke or is it like.
Like, no, it's just me like in a gown being like, I look like JonBenet Ramsey. And they're saying that that's like too far, which is crazy because like people are purporting themselves to care about JonBenet Ramsey. But I think I care about JonBenet Ramsey more than these people who are trying to, you know, castigate me for caring about JonBenet Ramsey care about JonBenet Ramsey. Like, I really care about JonBenet Ramsey. I think, like, as an art object and as, like, a cultural touch point, she is, like, one of the most fascinating items or people that we've had of the past, like, 50 years.
Why?
Bar none. I think, like, the JonBenet Ramsey case and the way that it was spoken about after the fact. Well, first of all, it's, like, at the exact intersection of all the things that I like to wrestle with in my work and all the things that I'm really into, which is like female controversy, gossip culture, like all of these things where it's like the abjection of womanhood, the sort of like defying and defiling of female beauty standards, all of these things.
Like JonBenet Ramsey, the idea that JonBenet Ramsey was the fact that JonBenet Ramsey looks like JonBenet Ramsey by the time that JonBenet Ramsey was stolen. Yeah. Or kidnapped is almost worse of an affliction than them being stolen.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And then the subsequent media response to her image and the way that people were so attracted to it. And it's like all of these things. And I think like the way that the JonBenet Ramsey case was spoken about in the tabloids and the all save of these
this
things.
Hot, save this hot child.
Save this hot child is like set the precedent. But even just like the mechanism of how people discussed it has set the precedent for how we speak on social media now.
How?
Just like gossipy, sort of gossip as a democratized practice.
Yeah.
And not something that is like necessarily held by like gatekeepers or like you have to have a journalism degree or whatever, work at a company in order to be able to gossip. Like it was such a phenom that, and it was so parasocial and frightening and intense for people that I think it has just, like, set the precedent for the way that we engage with celebrity and the way we engage with sad and bad and negative things now. Like, I think we wouldn't have, like, this, like, true crime slop epidemic if it were not for the way that it was so profitable for people to speak about JonBenet Ramsey's murder. And also it is the thing of, like, this beautiful hot child was defiled and nobody ever found who did it, but, like, she was a victim all the way through. It's just, like, there's so many things about it that are really fascinating, like activating to me. And so she is like, I have like JonBenet memorabilia all over my room. Like I have like a weird, ironic JonBenet memorabilia all over my bedroom. It's like, I find her as a cultural touch point to be so fascinating and paradigm shifting. And so when I make jokes about JonBenet Ramsey, it's out of like total reverence. And also like, it's that Kamala thing where it's like, you think you just fell out of the coconut tree. You exist in the context of everything that came before you. It's like JonBenet Ramsey is my coconut tree. Like I am here I am spoken about the way that I am because JonBenet Ramsey was once as well.
Well, she wasn't. Oh, because she was spoken about.
Yeah.
You're saying you're coming at me the same way that people came out after her. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that I think the toolkit that people have to be able to speak about me crazy on the internet or anybody is a toolkit that was built by people in the trying to parse through how they felt in the wake of the JonBenet Ramsey murder and controversy and mystery.
Next is you have to dress like one of the black girls that's gotten killed.
Right. And then people
say her name, kind of one of those. Right. Ladies.
And then people will say I'm evening the score.
I think that'd be really good if you did that. I just found out my AC got recalled. So I think there's mold being pumped into my apartment, which is making me sound like this. I'm dying. You know what is not mold is Lucy. Lucy Breakers are 100% tobacco-free nicotine pouches made for true pouch connoisseurs. Lucy pouches and Lucy breakers deliver long-lasting flavor for a seriously satisfying pouch experience. Premium 100% tobacco-free nicotine pouches made for true pouch connoisseurs. Did I already say that? I did. Lucy pouches and Lucy breakers deliver long-lasting flavor for a seriously satisfying pouch experience. Did I already say that? How come these are the same things? What? Oh, those were two things back-to-back, I swear to God. It just said it twice. All right, whatever. Personal experience. Lucy Rips. I have a bunch of them. I like them. Mango is my favorite one. There's Lucy Breakers. You can pop it in the little flavor popper. Bopper blows your freaking socks off. Your favorite. That's my favorite. What product is your favorite? Just said that. What's your favorite flavor? Said that too. How do you use the product? To help? To focus? For energy? Obviously, I use it not to eat. Let's not be crazy now. I use it when I want to put shit in my face. While you're I do use it during workout. That's not very good, but I do that. It said before or after workout. I use it during to get me a little good, get a little juice going. Lucy pouches go up to 12 milligrams in strength. 12 is crazy, but you can do you, and have a unique shape that feels great. Lucy breakers are nicotine pouches with an extra surprise. Each pouch holds a hydrating capsule that you crack with your teeth for an instant burst of long-lasting flavor. Every pouch is the same. Lucy breakers are the only ones doing it differently to give you the long-lasting flavor in pouches. Lucy is now in store nationwide. You can find a retailer near you at lucy.co/stores or get Lucy delivered to you ASAP on apps like DoorDash and GoPuff. Lucy is the only pouch that delivers long-lasting on-demand flavor. Get 20% off your first order when you buy online at lucy.co/RIP. Use promo code RIP, and if you don't want to wait, check out their store locator to find Lucy near you and grab it today. And here's the fine print. Lucy products are only for adults of legal age, and every customer is age verified. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Good job, Jordan.
I think JonBenet is like a particular touchstone for me also because she is sort of like the apotheosis of like white womanhood and white girlhood, where it's like she was just like this perfect little beautiful white baby, and yet they couldn't find who killed her. And that's also so disturbing to people, because usually when a white girl is kidnapped, of course, like her face is everywhere. When a white girl is murdered, her face is everywhere. Whereas like other women of different races, it's sort of like on the back burner so that a white woman's, you know, pain and misery can kind of take precedent. But like the fact that they never found really who killed her, and the fact that there was all of these blunders in the local police force handling the case and all these things, it's like, it's sort of, I think the thing that is so offensive to people is that, yes, she was a white girl that was everywhere, but she was a white girl that was failed. And that's like really palpably upsetting to most people, because they're like, this little beautiful girl, pure as the driven snow, we didn't all put our hands on deck to like find out what the fuck happened to her. And so there's just like so many points of tension and friction in the symbol of JonBenet Ramsey that is really fascinating to me. Geeking out. You see it?
Yeah, but I really like it. I wish that everybody talked the way that you talked. Yeah, but I also think that JonBenet Ramsey's, when you see her face, because it's been it's recreated into a Disney like or a Pixar character, it actually just brings up more empathy, because we've been programmed to be empathetic towards things with long eyelashes and giant eyeballs.
Exactly. And that's part of it as well, where it's like she was beautiful and that's...
But they also fetishized her child, which led the child to probably getting kidnapped.
Yes. It's all of those things where it's like she was so beautiful that she had to die. Like, my stand-up hour right now, like, the central thesis of it is sort of, like, women are never more beautiful than when they are subjugated beyond recognition. Like, a woman is never seen as more beautiful than when her pain and her suffering and her death is something that can be fetishized and cared about, because that's the only time that we're willing to listen to her is when, like, she's a dead body, basically. And I think JonBenet Ramsey's a really good example of that.
Where somebody, yeah, but you could say the same for men, that men are the most beautiful form of themselves after they've created art. We've forgotten about it, and then they died, and we resurrected their art, and then we fetishize that.
Yeah, I think with men, it sort of comes from a different place, where it's like they can be sort of lionized after their deaths, or seen as like prophets, or like somebody like, I don't know, like Kurt Cobain can be seen as kind of like a prophet. But usually with women, it's like the women that we love to hate, it's not until they are dead or unrecognizably brain-meltingly mentally ill that we perform any sort of reappraisal on them and try to reckon with what we culturally have like done to get them to that point. And usually then the narrative becomes like, it's like she crashes the we make her crazy, we hate her. She crashes the fuck out, she dies, or she's like Britney Spears, where she's like a cheeseburger on two legs. And then afterwards, the only way we can rationalize our behavior, what has been done to her, is by bestowing a victimhood upon her and saying she never had any agency, she was raped into doing all of this stuff, and that's why she's like this, is like she never had any say in her own self, her own sanity, whatever. And I don't think either of those are true. I think with men, it's a little more nuanced. For somebody like Kurt Cobain, people have like made him a victim insofar as they've said that Courtney Love killed him, so like a literal victim, but they've not denied him any sort of agency over his own work, over his own narrative. Like, he still gets to, in death, be self-defined, and his work gets to be what it
what
was
other woman is not self-defined in their work post mortis. Post, what is it called?
Postmortem.
Postmortem.
Can you repeat that? What if the...
What woman's work has been taken away from them, or what narrative of theirs has been taken away? Like,
Here's an example. It's like, I think with Amy Winehouse, it's like the sort of narrative around her death after the fact was her boyfriend was the one that got her on the drugs and ruined her life. Her father was the one that led her astray. All these things where it's like, we recognize that her work was her own, but it's a thing where it's like the nastiness and the griminess of her image and like her oeuvre was integrally hers. And she was always really that person. It just sort of spiraled out of control. But like that documentary, Amy, about her life sort of purports that the men in her life kind of mishandled her and led her astray.
As opposed to just being a rock star who does drugs.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Whereas men get to be rock stars who do drugs. When we try to rationalize a woman's legacy after the fact, it's always like, well, she was just like under the thumb of everybody. She was raped into doing all this. She had no voice. And it's like, well, what if she did have a voice, but it's just not a voice that you're actually comfortable with because it's dealing with so many taboos and dark things. Like, what if Britney Spears, like, yes, Britney Spears is like mentally ill as fuck, but she also like the thing about Britney Spears and people have like, you know, in this time of like Free Britney and everything, it's like it took until she was literally clam chowder in the brain for us to be like, why don't we like take our foot off her necks and actually like reappraise her? But then immediately the track is total and complete victim. And I do believe that these women in some regards have been victims of certain circumstances, abso-fucking-lutely. But also it's like Britney Spears is so special as a pop star because she is so enigmatic and interesting, and there's something about Britney Spears where like it's what's interesting about Britney is that like she wasn't writing her own music, sure, but like she was that insane star power performer, and you can't take that away from her by saying, well, she didn't write her own music, she was just an, you know, a machine that was forced to keep going. It's like she had that innate and practiced and studied star quality and stage presence, and you can't take that away from her by being like, well, everybody was just pushing her in every which way the entire time and she never had any say in her own work or own image, because that's actually not true. Like, Britney really was an architect of her own image. It got out of hand and people started taking advantage of it, but she was for a long time an architect of her own singular enigmatic image. And
this is my whole problem with the Me Too movement. I mean, I'm pro Me Too movement, but the whole idea that everybody's narrative became that all of these men forced sex on us and put us in a position where we allowed ourselves to get raped is a narrative that's massive for so many women. But I also think there's a narrative with so many women where it's like men have become so weak and abhorrent to women that, I mean, I talk about this in my hour, I'm like, sometimes as a woman, when you're dealing with a man with a very fragile existence and they're pouring out to you, they're trauma bonding with you, they're letting you know that you're the only one who listens, there is an abuse of women's empathy that cracks in and makes us be like, okay, I'll fuck you even though I don't want to. And then later we're like, that wasn't okay. But it does take away our agency to keep saying, these men forced sex on us, when so many of us are like, it wasn't forced. He actively knew I didn't want to fuck him and manipulated me into it by being a bitch.
Yeah.
And it takes away any of the stuff with men where it's like, they were such a bitch cuck that I had to fuck them. It can't play into the narrative. They don't like women saying that men are bitch cucks.
Yeah, definitely not. And I think like,
and you've seen men get raped in that same way. You probably have guy friends where a woman wore them down.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And but we can't say that.
I just think like with stuff like that, it's like, when things are so binary between victim or villain or things like that, victim or villain, it's such a, those poles are so, it's so binary. And I think like real life and real things exist in like undulating shades of gray. Like,
women cannot undulate. Like, that's the problem with being a female comedian, which you probably have noticed, where a man can go on there and be somebody one day and be a different guy the next day, and it's fine.
Yes.
If we say something online, it means that that is in our doctrine of who we are. If a man says something online, they're trying on a personality.
I have been saying this on the internet recently, and some fucking guy wrote, like, a Substack article about it, because I was writing about how, so I'm friends with this fashion designer named Elena Velez, and she used, clavicular?
No.
Clavicular is like a controversial internet figure right now. He's like a streamer who's like, he does this thing called looks maxing, which is basically like trying to be as optimally handsome as a male as possible. And he's like very autistic and very regimented about it, sort of in a like eugenicist kind of Nazi way. But he's like a weird autistic guy who's like kind of trying to scientifically perfect being as sort of Patrick Bateman-esque beautiful as possible. But he's like a really controversial figure because he is, you know, a figure of like this sort of new breed of alt-right young male.
Yeah.
And Elena was really fascinated by him and used him as sort of like an art object and had him walk in her fashion show. He like closed her most recent fashion show. And then GQ did a profile of Clavicular like right after. And my friend Taryn took the photos for the profile of Clavicular. And both Elena and Taryn were doxxed on the internet, were harangued by people all up and down for... because according to most people on the internet, depiction equals endorsement.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, the male photographer at the New York Times who took photos of Clavicular and Adam Friedland, who had Clavicular on a show, and Andrew Callahan, who had Clavicular on a show, were all being treated like they were in on the joke. Like they understood it from like another level of context. Right. And the women that I know who engaged with Clavicular as an object of art or like a subject of cultural fascination were maligned for it up, down, left, right, and center. And it's like with women, the assumption is because people think we are such empathetic creatures naturally that our empathy cannot be critical in any way, and it cannot, we cannot have perverse fascination with anything, and it actually all has to be like, oh baby, like I'm letting you into my heart and I'm saying yes to everything that you do and you can suckle from my breast or whatever. And it's like, that's not actually the case. Women can be extremely discerning, and I think our empathy is a superpower in that discernment because it makes it all the more dynamic, and so we can look at things from so many more lenses than men can, but men are given the credit for being the more discerning, satirical ones. You know, men are given so much more leeway in performing and conducting cultural satire than women are, I think, because the assumption with us is just that we endorse everything that we depict, or that every tough subject that we try to parse through in our work is autobiographical in some way.
And the reason for that being, okay, if I get up on stage and I say something that is transgressive and I don't really mean it, but I'm just trying it on as an ironic idea to like see how it fits, and you're an audience member and you're watching a woman do that, I'm thinking in my mind, I'm watching you and I'm like, okay, they must really believe the thing that they're saying. The reason why you would think that is because I think it's like if a woman's entire existence is about like survival, basically, right? Like staying alive, having children, finding a mate to protect them, then anything they dabble in must have weight.
Yeah.
Or else they wouldn't commit time to it.
Yeah.
So there's kind of this idea that men have a frivolous amount of time on their hands, so they can just dip into different pools.
Yes. Yes. 100%. The expectation for us is that we have to, I mean, like when a woman is like, I mean, I'm, like, dating a guy that's, like, in his late 30s right now, and it's, like, he's never been married. He can go on that way forever, you know? Yeah. But when a woman is in her late 30s and not married, people are like, bitch, what the fuck are you doing? You're wasting your time. You're wasting your time doing anything else. You're wasting your time texting. You're wasting your time eating that fucking bowl of cereal.
Not bitch, if you're masked. Not I get away with everything that, because I'm masked.
I get away with things, too, because I'm sort of the way that I am, but... You know, for most women...
But that's fucked up, that the only way to get away from it is to emulate a man.
Exactly. Exactly. That's fucked up, too. It's like, yeah, the expectations on us are just a lot higher, and then the latitude that we have to engage with certain things is a lot smaller. So we must perform at the best of our ability. We must excel. We must impress. We must show that we're not wasting our time or anybody else's. We must get people to like us. We must prove that we are committed to surviving and that we're committed to normalcy. But then also, anytime we deviate from outside of that, it's immediately a sin and people will constrain you. And I just like it's but something that's been interesting to me lately is like the way that I have been received on the internet as somebody that identifies as like a leftist. Like my politics are really integral to me and very strong. And I am still called a Nazi or whatever the fuck, or any ism or phobia or whatever I'm accused of any sort of moral impropriety on the internet on a daily fucking basis. On a daily fucking basis, it happens. It causes massive discourse. The subject of me and what I potentially believe, no matter how many times I clarify it, because of the jokes that I make and because of what I talk about in my comedy, causes massive discourse.
This message is sponsored by Raycon. Please personalize. Raycon is, they got headphones. They're pretty good headphones. They cancel out noise. They do good stuff. They're nice on the, they're nice on your ears. With Mother's Day coming up, it's a great time to find a gift that actually fits into your mom's everyday life. When is Mother's Day? Fuck me. Your mom's everyday life, whether she's going for a morning walk, running errands, or talking on the phone, Raycon's essential open earbuds are a great option because they're open ear, so she can listen to music or podcasts while hearing what's happening around her. If you're like me, you're always worried your mom is about to get fucking hit with an anvil or something. I always worry about that. And she took me on this hike that was treacherous and it was so icy, so I bought her little grips for her shoes. But I agree with them. I always worry that my mom is just gonna freaking walk into goddamn traffic. Raycon's essential open ear earbuds are a great option because they're an open ear. She can listen to music or podcasts while hearing what's happening around her. The sound stays clear of the bout and balanced without feeling closed off from her surroundings, keeping her safe and aware. It's a thoughtful Mother's Day gift, and honestly, it's also great to pick up if you have a pair, if you want a pair for yourself. And right now, you can grab them for 15% off. Regular earbuds block out everything. You can hear someone calling your name, honking, car honking, anything. These Raycons just sit outside your ear canal so you can get a really clear sound, but you can actually hear what's happening around you too. The awareness is perfect for tackling your fitness resolutions and safely. They're really lightweight, and the ear hook part rotates, so they actually stay in. I've worn them to the gym on walks, doing stuff around the house. They don't fall out, and they don't get uncomfortable. Raycon has over 3 million customers, and the sound quality is just as good as the way more expensive brands. They're half the price. They're not paying for celebrity endorsements and all that retail markup stuff, and if you don't like them, they have a 30-day guarantee. I use my Raycons freaking every day, and my wife does too. A couple of features that make them everyday to use is open ear design, multi-angular hook, lightweight, ultra lightweight, and flexible ear hook that adapts to my ear, multi-point connect to multiple devices and switch endlessly, seamlessly without hassle, 36-hour battery life, that's 8 hours of playtime and 36 hours of battery with the charging case. I charge them maybe once a week. That's good. You hear your music and you hear the world around you, both at the same time. These are really good headphones. I use them all the time for running errands and I work at home. Sometimes I fall asleep with them because they're so comfy. Celebrate the moms in your life. Go to raycon.com/ripopen to get 15% off the essential open earbuds. Thanks, Raycon, for sponsoring. We need examples. I said TRAN and Y on Stavi's podcast and got canceled because I didn't know you were allowed to say that.
You're not allowed to say that anymore. But
I was talking about the word.
You got to be careful.
I had no idea.
Yesterday was Trans Day of Visibility. My trans brothers and sisters, I do stand with you. Always.
Multiple trans people have said that you can totally use that word, by the way.
Period. And that's your truth.
It's crazy.
That's your truth. But
my whole thing is they think that comedians have somehow gotten an undergraduate degree in wokeism. Like somehow we all were programmed to understand exactly what you can and cannot say. And we're not like fallible human beings that can learn as we go.
I mean, yeah. And that's the thing. I was talking about this with somebody yesterday where it's like, in response to sort of like this, that video of me saying that I look like JonBenet Ramsey, like as a joke, or like all of the many things, you know, where like I had a big tweet that was a big controversy where I said I was the only girl at the Diddy party they all said no to, which is like
how
a joke
is that
about,
controversial?
Because it was a joke about my own like self-hatred and right. Me being like, I am sexually disgusting. I'm a pig. Nobody would ever fuck me. And similarly, I tweeted my pussy would make a rapist retire, right? And
these were tweets that, but how is that controversial?
These were tweets that came from a place from me of like deep fucking insecurity and self-flagellation. And the response to that was, you are perpetuating rape culture and you are condoning rape and you're making light of rape.
But you're falling into the pit. These are people who are programmed to find things with everybody. I mean,
absolutely, 110%. Right. I'm just somebody that they have profoundly chosen to zoom in on and pick on. But you know, a guy on TikTok, just here's another example. A guy on TikTok just the other day made a video that had like 100,000 views, saying that I'm no better than a man and that I'm a predator because I perpetuate rape culture by using rape as a a feminist talking point in the mode of comedy. So by like talking about rape,
that's our thing. Rape is our thing. You raped us, bro. That's what we're allowed to talk about.
Fucking exactly. And that was what my point was, and I tried to make that clear once. And
when people hit me up after a show because I have like a 10-minute rape chunk, and they're like, that really triggered me. I'm like, go fuck yourself. I'm talking about rape. That's our fucking thing that we're allowed to joke about. Yeah. Imagine if a man was joking about it, how mad you would be.
I know. It's
this is the thing I'm allowed to joke about. I can joke about OCD, being a fat kid, fucking rape, anything that
we
deal
with. We're just not allowed the same amount of latitude. But
that's because there's
four
of us.
Right. There's four of us.
If there was a million, they couldn't catch us all.
Exactly. But the thing is, like, I love Stavros, and I really like him as a person. But what has been curious to me is seeing in many publications Stav being sort of hailed as like a scion of the new left.
Dionysus.
And Stav being like purported to be a bastion of a new form of leftist malehood, right? And being seen as like the woke ideal when that man was on Cumtown. It's like, and I have said things that probably are more benign than anything he and Nick and Adam were saying on Cumtown, but I get called a Nazi every day of my life, and he gets like a feature in GQ magazine saying that he is showing men how to be leftist and feminist the right way. It's just stuff like that that's like really curious to me.
Why is he allowed
that latitude and I am not?
I had a guy come after me for saying, a comic who I work with, who came after me for saying the T word on Stav's podcast and was like, hell yeah, Stav, you know, put her in her place. Stav was like, I had no intention of like putting Jordan in her place. She's just like a little sister vibe where I'm like, that, you know. Anyway, so this guy's like tweeting about me several times. We work together. I'm like, bro, we have to see each other. Like, let's be cool. And I like explain myself. And then we're at the comedy club and a guy is sitting with us and says the T word twice in a joke. And he laughs at him.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? It's just... When women do things, it holds more weight, which is fine. It is fine that it holds more weight. If a man said to another man, you're fat, if I said to a man, you're fat, it would break him. It would ruin him. We have so much power. We do have so much power.
We have
a lot
of power, and the friction between like being a woman and being a public-facing person, like those two things... Yeah. The world does not want those two things to happen in the same person. They want us, like, in the home or, like, hooking on the streets. Like, they want us, like, in the house, like, cooking, or they want us, like, on the fucking street corner, legs wide open. And, like, if you are a woman who is presentational or public in any way, the friction and the juxtaposition between those two things is really disturbing for people. Ergo,
but it has more power.
Yes, it carries a lot of power.
If you write a deconstructive thing about that guy's response to you, it'll hold so much more power than a guy.
Yeah.
Because it's not, because it's calculated. It has, like, I'm saying this to myself also because I forget about the weight too. But, like, every time they come after us, you have to get that, like, this is, like, Nietzsche hated women. Do you know this? Nietzsche hated women. And, like, this philosopher Derrida wrote this whole thing about Nietzsche's hatred for women. And he was like, it's because women are able to reduce men to boys so quickly.
There's
just by
a freaky bug on the mic.
Just by looking at them?
It's a gnat.
Psycho. And then, but that's why Nietzsche hated women, because it is just, like, a woman can look at a guy and be like, really, dude? And they're just reduced.
Yeah.
Which is huge, which is awesome. But it just does mean, simply, you cannot read the comments.
Yeah.
You must not.
I stay engaged with the cultural conversation around myself because my, like, real autistic fascination is the way that public-facing women have been received and respond to, and the way that, like, public image...
So you know more
image...
about my shit than I do, probably.
Maybe,
about the stuff then.
Maybe, but like the you know, public image and the private life and the work, the way that those things all converge and the responses and the public reception to all three of those things and how it sort of stacks on top of each other and proliferates. Like, that's really like my autistic fixation. And it is that in part because it's something that has happened to me and that I've had to track and witness over the past like 10 years of like internet infamy and like minor celebrity that I've had. And so I have been sort of been able to use myself as a cultural case study for this thing that I'm so fascinated about that I track in other people constantly. And so at this point, it has been like really denigrating to my self-image and my mental health at times to pay attention to stuff like that. But now sort of zooming out and looking at it from like a critical lens, as like sort of using myself as my own little like sociology guinea pig and being able to like have an even stronger lens of my own perspective about these things because it is happening to me, and being able to apply that to other people when I study it in other people has been, like, as sort of masochistic as it sounds, like, is really intellectually activating.
Yeah.
And so I'm at a point right now where it ebbs and flows, the way that it weighs on me, it ebbs and flows, but I'm at a point right now as I'm sitting here where it's like, I find it to be really interesting, and I'm able to separate my own feelings from it, because truly at the end of the day, it's like, nobody can ever analyze me or like scrutinize me or say anything as true about me from an outside perspective as I could ever say or think about myself. Like, really the only comment I've ever read that got my ass, that like really clocked my fucking tea, was somebody posted like my nudes on the Adam Friedland subreddit. Oof. Which, whatever, like, fucking the sun is yellow, the sky is blue, like, you know, ducks in the lake, but like, it's just gonna happen.
Why do you have nudes?
What, I have nudes? I used to sell them for money.
Great.
I used to sell them for money. But somebody posted like a photo of like, I think like my bare breasts, or like maybe me in a bikini or something of the sort, on the Adam Friedland Show subreddit. And somebody commented, she does that. I wear like little red like cat eye rockabilly glasses, right? Yeah. Like I have like these, where are they? I have like these little red like cat eye rockabilly glasses with my name on them, and I think they're really cute. And somebody commented, she does that thing that fat millennials do where they dress like Betty Page to distract from their midness. And I was like, that's exactly me.
That's beautiful.
That's
written.
Exactly the playbook that I'm fucking taking pages out of every day of my life. Yeah. That was the one comment that I've ever seen where I'm like, that's an apt read of everything about me. You got it. Somebody on that subreddit also said I had a long and low ass, which also is true. But
if you're struggling with OCD or unrelenting intrusive thoughts, an OCD can help. Book a free 15-minute call to get started. That's learn.nocd.com/Jordan Jensen. You guys know intrusive thoughts. Do you worry you're going to mutilate a baby? Do you worry that you're going to rip the fucking leg off of your dog and eat it as a drumstick? Do you worry you're going to jump off the balcony of your 5-story building, or even your 1-story building, which would maybe worse than the 5-story because you wouldn't die, but you would just hurt an ankle, which seems worse, honestly. Do you have these intrusive thoughts, pushing people in front of the train, jumping yourself in front of the trains? Well, it's not your fault. It's OCD's fault. And you freaking know that. And I freaking told you about that. And you freaking already know that. But here's the deal. I stand behind this. I mean this. I really want you to do this. I have already recommended this to many people. NoCD is basically a website that you go to that hooks you up with exposure therapy. So let me read you something. So OCD is one of the most treatable mental health conditions out there if you get the right kind of specialized theory. OCD needs ERP therapy, which is exposure therapy, response prevention. It's proven to be the most effective treatment. Regular talk therapy isn't recommended for OCD and can actually make it worse. Introduce NoCD. That's where NoCD comes in. They're the world's leading OCD treatment provider. And all their licensed therapists specialize in ERP therapy. Therapy with NoCD is 100% virtual, covered by insurance for over 138 million Americans, and includes support between sessions, and so you never have to face OCD alone. The thing about OCD is that the compulsions only provide short-term relief. No matter how many times I asked for reassurance, avoided things that trigger depressing thoughts, or followed certain rituals, the intrusive thoughts kept coming back stronger. That's why OCD is so debilitating. So to learn more about starting OCD therapy with NoCD, go to nocd.com and book a free call with their team. That's nocd.com/Jordan Jensen. It's all the body stuff. I have a bit about that where I'm like looking through all the stuff, hate, and I'm like, it's coming after. They're like, she's not funny. She's evidence that women aren't funny. She's a hick. She's retarded. But not one person called me fat. And I was like, oh, the internet loves me. You know right. What I mean? That's my whole take.
My thing, most of the flack that I get, even if it's like the vehicle for it, is accusing me of like a moral impropriety. The package that it's in, or the way it always ends up proliferating, is something about my appearance. So like, it always is just people trying to be morally righteous or to virtue signal as an excuse to denigrate my appearance.
Because we do care. Because we have to. It sucks.
We have
to,
yes.
And that is the way to get us.
But I've sort of, like, I think in many ways, it's deeply affected me in the past, but I think in a lot of regards, I've sort of opted out of the things that people want me to do. I mean, I became famous on the internet when I was, like, 12 or 13.
Why?
And why? Just I've just always been somebody that, like, people swarm to, like, flies on shit. Like, there's something about me that is really...
What did you do at 12 on the internet?
Jokes. Just writing jokes. And posting sketches and stuff. But there's something about me that people...
God, your generation is fucked.
I know. But, that's crazy. You know, it's always been, like, my unibrow. Like, that's always been... And when I first became famous on the internet, I had tiny little bangs and a bob above my chin, and it was white. I would bleach it white. And then I had this strong eyebrow, and I would dress in, like, really crazy colors. And... it was always that where people were always like, your fuck ass haircut, or like that ugly unibrow, I'm gonna like wax it off your face in your sleep and stuff. And it was always stuff like that where I was like, I find it really funny that people are really this put themselves in this much emotional upheaval over something that seems so benign as like a woman's appearance in her own home and how she's presenting herself to you on the internet. And so I kept the unibrow. Like, it didn't make me want to not have it. I've always had it. I don't really shave. Like, I don't at all. I have had, like, fuck-ass nasty haircuts and hair colors in the past. Like, I don't really, like, I have, like, weird gory tattoos. Like, I don't really, like... have any interest in subscribing to things that...
But you have to understand that you've subscribed to the thing that makes you the most attractive.
I guess so,
imagine if you waxed your unibrow and did all the stuff. Imagine if I all of a sudden started dressing femme. It would not go great.
I know. It's part of the image. It's like building
an image.
But
that's the way that you can be the most attractive. The way I can be the most attractive is to look like a boy. The way you can be the most attractive is to be a little freak bitch.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically. I mean, that's how...
you are wrapped up in the thing, though.
But that's how I view it. But, like, people... But what I've realized is that even if I made myself more beautiful in accordance to... I've scrolled through, like, Reddit thread after Reddit thread of people photoshopping my face being like, I think this is how we can get her to be easier to look at. Like, I think even if I did look that way, people would still not like me because it's the personality and the rhetoric that they really dislike at the end of the day. The looks are just a vehicle for packaging all of these different things. It's just like it sort of switches on and off between, do you hate me because you're saying it's because I'm not woke, but really I'm ugly? Or do you hate me because you're saying I'm ugly, but really you hate me because I'm not woke? It's like, it's either or. And so I think, like, even if I existed in a prettier, more feminine, more easy to swallow package, people would still not like me because they would still be able to... They would still be coming into me and my work and my image with all these, like, preconceived notions and all this baggage of,
it's
like...
It's not that they don't like you. It's the way that there's no human-to-human contact anymore. These men are not going out on dates, taking women on dates, buying them a malt milkshake, driving them in their car, dropping them off, and then asking if they can go in and fucking them. They're not doing that.
It's these not men even are... men who hate me. It's like, it's I find it other women. I find other women are often the perpetrators of this lack of latitude that we get in terms of what we are able to discuss and
then it's
with
still them.
Artists.
Then they're not having sex. I mean, these people are just finding ways to feel anything.
Yes, they're finding... Well, it, yeah. I think it comes from a place of we all feel really, like, subjugated and powerless. And so the way that we think we can sort of reify a lost power that we have that's been taken from us from the world and capitalism and all these things is by sort of, like, sicking the dogs back on each other and finding somebody who seems accessible enough to castigate until the fucking sun explodes. And that's how we feel strong and self-assured, and that's how we can feel like we are able to, like, redefine our own strength and self-image. And it's not a sustainable model of interacting with people whatsoever, and I hope that one day we look back upon it shamefully and fretfully, but it's just what it is right now because we're in a world where people feel increasingly...
But don't you think it's archaic to do that? Don't you think it's like... chimps, if me and you were female chimps, and we'd be like, yo, that other female chimp is not hot enough to get the alpha
male. It's very archaic, but the practice of it now, because it's internet mediated, is new. I think it's archaic in the same way that, like, policing and prisons are archaic.
Right, same.
Like,
yeah.
it's all...
Prisons are crazy.
Crazy.
It's crazy that they exist. It's so weird. Have you been put into a jail before?
I've never been to one.
It's literally like, imagine just like somebody, it's just like a person that looks like you and they're like, you stay in this jail. And you're like, you locking me up in a cage?
I watched a YouTube video about how they get food in and out of Rikers the other day. And I was literally like sick to my stomach gagging watching this video, really thinking crazy about what it's like to be a human fucking being in captivity. And also the fact that these people are like doing work that these bigger companies don't want to outsource to like foreign labor. And so like the people that put the fucking cans on the tops on the cans and fucking stamp the license plates are people in prisons making 75 cents a fucking hour, working 50 hours a week. And by the time you get out of prison, of course you have, nobody will hire you because you're a fucking felon.
Even though you're the best worker in America.
Yeah. Even though you're the most fucking prolific, like handy, fucking finger strong as fuck worker in America. And all you've been doing is concentrating on this one thing, but nobody will fucking hire you. And so then you go back into a life of crime and then you go immediately back into prison. It's like,
well, and just the idea that one act of, say you stab somebody, it's one moment, and then the entire rest of your life is
in captivity. Yeah. It's fucking crazy. But I think like one day we will look back upon cancel culture or what have you as something as archaic and violent and punitive, and as a symptom of our punitive culture. I think like cancel culture and like sort of democratized gossip and all of these things are an offshoot of a culture wherein we are taught bad people go to jail, bad people stay there forever. No sympathy, no nuance. If you fuck up and if you don't abide by this very specific rule book that was established 100 fucking years ago or whatever, you go to fucking jail. It's the same shit as like the fucking that thou shalt not whatever the fuck on the fucking tablet. It's like it's all like we're constricting each other and we're denying each other any sort of nuance or personal dimension. We're stripping from each other the very human and wonderful thing of being able to extend empathy and hold somebody into your fucking heart and be like, you are messy, but I still love and care for you. And I believe it will be a practice that we look back upon really disgustedly one day. But for now, it's just the mechanism for communicating with one another. And it makes me really upset.
Imagine how sick it would be just to be like to have this, like the other day I was walking around with this girl who was, like, just basic. And she was just kind of sycophantic about anything I did or anything I showed her. And I was like, oh, this is, like, what men want. Is they want to be this, like, multidimensional person where with a woman being like, oh, everything you're saying is too. Or, like, I'm watching Mad Men right now and that's very much his, like,
so
wife.
So good. I'm watching it for the first time.
It's so good. But the Betty Draper, the having her be like, and just having this, like. But I felt that feeling where I was like, this is sick. Just to have a pet, this like woman that's a pet and I can show things to. And I think a big part of the thing that's displaced about it is like, that's a child. That's like if you have a child and you're being like, this is my favorite ice cream place. This is my favorite. And the kid's like, that's so amazing. But it's like to expect women to fill this role for men of being a child in awe, which is what they want women to be.
Which is why I think it's a big reason why I had so much trouble dating and having sex and all these things is because I'm not that. Like, I'm not somebody that's just gonna sort of like lie over on my stomach and let you overtake me. I'm full of like desire and passion, and I want things, and I want good conversation, and I want a battle of wits. And I think most men really would rather have a girl that's just sort of quiet and is like, wow, you're so idiosyncratic and strange, I'll follow you till the ends of the earth. Whereas, like,
I don't know what your generation is like. I mean, but
it's basically that. It feels like that way. To me, from my vantage point, it feels that way.
I'm getting to the age, which is really interesting. I don't know if this will make you feel better, where all of these men throughout my 30s have been dating, have had the pets and had the pets and had the pets. And now they're like starved.
Yeah.
And they're desperate for the multidimensional woman. Yeah. And they're having to forego the fat ass and the tits for the conversation. And a lot of them are making the leap. And it's really interesting because you're like,
I'm in a dynamic like that right now. A man in his late 30s.
It's late 30s.
And I can tell that he's sort of like, I'm foregoing having like insane sex with like a woman that will literally suck my dick at the drop of a hat for intellectually stimulating conversation about novels and science.
Yeah, you probably can have insane sex. You'll learn.
I think I will learn. Yeah, you will learn. But at this point right now, how long did it take you to learn how to?
21. I wasn't even close.
Okay, that's relieving.
It took me till I was 30 to start having like sick, awesome, undulaty, mashy, contact, improv, dancey sex.
How do you get over the fear of it and looking stupid and not knowing what you're doing?
Stay close. keep the bodies very close. Okay. That is the way to do it. If you pull away, you're fucked.
Right, because then it's like...
Literally think about it as contact improv, where you're like, we're trying to stay as tight as possible. Because as soon as you... And then you'll get better at pulling away. But that was my problem, was when the guy pulls away to do their new thing, I'm out of it.
Right.
But if you stay mashed, like just hold them as tight, closely as you can, that's the best.
I struggle with sex so much because, like... It's just something where it's, like, it's crazy that I am expected to, like, understand, like, what to say during it.
No,
what
saying.
The choreography
is.
Just, talk. Like, all of these things. It's, like, the fact that the expectation is that this is, like, something that is innate to me as a woman is nuts. Like, there's other things that are innate to me as a woman. There's other things that I'm really good at, but they're not as, like, advantageous to... It's not as advantageous as a woman to, like, be smart and cutting... as it is to, like, be good at, like, getting a dick in your ass. Like, it's just, like, it's, like, people would rather that I be good at having a dick in my ass and, like, I be good at sucking cock naturally and not have any questions about why cum is warm when it comes out than, like, you know.
What if it was cold? That'd be crazy.
If it was cold, that would be crazy, but I did not expect it the first time I contended with it for it to be warm.
Interesting. Hot.
I felt like a Pop-Tart coming out of the toaster.
Yeah, that is crazy.
It was crazy.
Yeah, but the more you just say the things that you're saying, feeling out loud, the more normal it is. I mean, as you get older.
Yeah.
Like, if I swallow weird cum and I'm like, wow, your cum is really weird. What did you eat today? That's more normal than just having that face of, like, there was something, like, weird and I won't talk about it. Because it just gets more normal. But 20s are the worst possible age.
Yeah, it's a nightmare. It's hard. It's just, like, yeah, sex, it just feels like it's something that I'm... for some reason had this delusional idea that I would be inherently good at, and I didn't lose my virginity until I was like 18, but I'm from LA, that's like really late. My friends were fucking in middle school.
Totally.
So I was like the last virgin of like my spate of friends from childhood and even in college, and I lost my virginity and sort of immediately expected that sex would be something that would unearth like a new level of performance in me, because I'm already such like a performative sort of show-stopping person. I thought that sex would follow that same model but it's the exact opposite.
The only way you're going to unlock the sex is you have to have a worship man. You have to have a full worship guy.
I know.
Okay, great, but you're going to find it. First of all, there's going to be a bunch of men that you're attracted to that suck, and they make sex feel like a chore. And then there's going to be a guy who's like, nothing you do is wrong ever, and that's going to allow you to go sicko mode. And then you're going to have that. That's what happened to me. It was like, forever it was so weird, and then one guy was just like, I am so fucking addicted to you, it's crazy. And then sex got really good, and then in other relationships, I'd be like, wow, this isn't the same as that. And then it goes back, and then you find the one where you're like... But they have to be, like, overwhelmingly, or else it fucking sucks.
I know. I need, like, but also it's, like, the concept of being with, like, a worshiper, I'm almost, like, too kind of self-flagellating for that. Where I'm, like, I kind of love the push and pull of somebody hating me or evading me.
Of course, of course, of course.
Or evading my advances or me feeling like I'm a crazy
sicko. I'm 35 almost, and I'm just getting to the place where I can be with somebody who's, like, very, very into me.
Are you in a relationship?
Yeah. With a 38-year-old.
How long have you guys been together?
4 months.
Oh, it's new.
Yeah, it's fairly new.
How is it?
It's great. I mean, but it is the first time. I'm doing the same thing where I'm like, this is very, very hard for me. I'm used to dating people that hate me. You do not hate me.
Yeah.
And it is. And usually when I date somebody who really likes me, it is like because they are deficient in some way. And that's not the case in this situation.
Yeah.
So now I'm having to, like, work through all of the, like, wanting to be in a toxic thing.
It's really hard.
Yeah, but the thing that makes it good is that if the sex is really crazy or really good, you kind of, that has a level of toxicity to it because it feels very primal that you can kind of, like, forego that toxic need.
In the other parts of the relationship.
Yeah,
how do
exactly.
You, like, just get to a place where you can, like, feel comfortable doing, like, Looney Tunes wacky bullshit on the D?
Because when you're in it, first of all, I'm like, you lead the way, right? If you say daddy first, then now I'll call you daddy. But, like, I'm not one of those people where I'm just going to, like, open up with something crazy. I'm just very, like, this is a physical thing together. And then if it gets wacky, I'll follow the lead, but I'm not introducing it. But that's very hard for me. It's hard for me to be like, I'm never like, let's do this position now.
Right.
I don't really do that. I'll move my body in a way that is good, but I'm not like taking the lead. I'm not really into that. My entire life, I'm taking the fucking lead.
Right.
If I'm letting you fuck wet hole, you take the fucking lead.
Sometimes I try to take the lead and then it always kind of comes out sort of stilted and awkward or like it's
That's
not
the one thing
sexy.
We don't have to do. You don't have to take the lead during sex. You do have to deal with people hating you on Instagram. You have to deal with body image stuff, but you don't have to fucking take the lead with sex.
Right. But it's just like, I'm not like a very naturally submissive person in any avenue of my life.
Me neither, obviously. But I'm submissive in sex.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm like, I feel like, I guess I don't know exactly what I am yet because I haven't like tried it all. Because the concept of even letting myself lean into an identity in that way.
I promise if you were addicted to Xanax, then you probably have the similar thing with me. Because Xanax shuts everything up,
yeah,
and it's bliss.
Yeah,
that's what sex does.
Yeah,
it's hand over your mouth. You can't see, you can't think, and you're just getting plowed, and all you can think about is pleasure. That's Xanax.
But sex doesn't really feel that crazy to me physically. Like, I don't really like. I think I'm just too in my head where I can't actually like lean into the physical feeling of it.
Yeah, which would be nice if your eyes were closed and your mouth was covered and you were just being plowed.
Oh my then God. You could lean into. Is that what you be on? Is that the wave you be on?
Yeah,
you be getting you. Sensory deprivation tank?
Sensory deprivation tank.
Damn, bitch.
I mean, I close my own eyes. I don't have, like, a blindfold or anything gay
I
like
close
that.
My eyes, but it's because I don't want to, like, look at what's happening because it's me with a dick
just
inside
close.
Of me.
You need... When we have overactive minds, like people like us, for me, with sex, it helps to be just, like, you're being held still, and you're having sex. You're not having to perform. We have to perform all the time.
I know. I like the... Yeah, the... What sucks is the expectation to perform sexually.
I cannot do that.
I can't.
I will perform
either.
By having hole. I have hole.
That's how
you
I
you love
feel
hole.
Too. That's how I feel is like hole.
You love hole. Take hole.
Hole.
Don't make me do stuff with hole.
Here's hole.
You can move so
hole.
You feel good.
Come here.
Yeah.
Hole. Hole's here.
Come here. Up. Up. Up.
Literally,
jump up. Hole. Yeah.
That's how it feels. I'm like, I have a hole. Why do I have to be like?
You don't have to do that.
Like, why is that what somebody wants me to do? Why do I have to, like, suck cock?
Breathe. Just breathe, and that is enough for them. You don't have to suck cock.
I hate it.
Don't do it.
It's crazy.
I never suck cock.
It's so boring.
I do sometimes if I want them to fucking come.
Right.
And I'm like, all
right. Right. But sometimes with sucking cock, it's like, what about my ideas?
Yeah, of course.
What about me being able to share how I feel about the world around
me? Of course. You can suck cock and say an idea at him. Throw an idea at him and go back to sucking cock.
I've tried, and then it's sometimes the cock is like, what are you doing?
You should treat sex like you treat Xanax. It's a break.
It's a break.
It's a break. It's not performance.
I know. It feels like work sometimes.
I know.
It really
feels
like...
That's the difference between good sex and bad sex.
It feels like I'm like putting my hazmat suit on and I'm like, okay, I gotta go clean the fucking hoarder house out.
No. It should feel like hoarder house cleaning out. Does that sound kind of zen to me though? Just like grabbing all the stuff and moving it out actually kind of sounds nice.
Would you get yucked out in a hoarder house?
Not if I had the right equipment. But no, I just pulled a Band-Aid off my dog's foot. She stepped on it, and then I pulled the Band-Aid off.
She stepped on a Band-Aid?
Somebody else's. It was dark. I pulled it off.
Did the Band-Aid have blood on it?
No, but there was a little girl chasing us around the park who had a bloody nose. So then it just ended up being me and Coyote running from this girl who was chasing us, this two-year-old.
Why was she chasing you? Why was her nose
She was in love with us. She loved us. She wanted us to take her home. I got it because her dad was kind of like a little bitch cuck.
Where was her family was there?
Her dad was there, but he couldn't wrangle his own daughter, and he kept putting in the stroller, and then she would break loose and chase
men
after me.
So, it's crazy that men have to be parents biologically.
It's disgusting.
Because they're just not equipped in
they're not
any
equipped.
Way.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
But we're equipped with everything, which is why wet hole.
Wet hole.
Just be wet hole.
Wet hole and chill.
You don't have to go dead fish. You can move your own body, but think about it as the way that you want it to happen. If the dick is hitting weird, move it so that it feels... You'll see. It's like it is closest to like hugging. A good deep hug where you at some point decide to rub their back because that feels better.
Yeah, I just need to like get over the sort of like the endless thoughts racing that I have in my head when it's happening. Because I'm just like, yeah, it's just hard for me to like have to zone out and be in a place where I don't have ideas about anything besides like my body.
Of course.
Like I have ideas about the whole wide world all the time.
Of
and
course.
Having to shut that off for like a 20-minute interval is quite difficult.
Yeah, but there are moments that you shut it off or else you wouldn't sleep at night.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
know,
I guess it has to be like a... I feel like if I got into, like, meditation, I could, like, have...
I think you're just treating sex like more ideas. Because we talk about sex on stage, we talk about sex online, and I think that when you're having sex, you're like, oh, my God, my case study is opening right now.
Yeah.
And you have to more think about it as, like, I'm leaving my phone at home and going for a walk.
Fuck. Damn, bitch.
For real.
Damn, bitch. That's so true.
Or else it's not sex. It's just hyperanalysis, which is what we do all the time.
Right. That's so fucking
true. And if you're in hyperanalysis mode, be like, I don't want to fuck.
So fucking true, bitch. Damn. Yeah.
But I have to go.
Damn.
But I could talk to you forever.
You have to go?
Yeah.
Where are you going?
My pregnant friend is making us dinner.
Wow. She's cooking and she's pregnant?
Yeah. She's wet hole.
She's wet hole.
Do your plugs.
Do my plugs. My Instagram is at WolkMindVirus2. You can see me there for tour dates. I run a show with Nick Viagus called Struggle Bus.
No wonder he's your best friend, because he's just, you know, geeking out so you can talk endlessly.
Basically.
You were in a movie with Keanu Reeves?
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
He's very nice. He thought I was on heroin.
He's so sick.
He's really nice. He's very quiet. Kind of like a stolid kind of like, he's the watcher. He just watches.
He's incredible.
In between takes, he goes outside to smoke a cigarette. He's kind.
We know the answer. Okay.
He's kind. I think his heart is big, but he's shy.
Yeah.
And it's admirable to be shy as somebody who's really famous and also middle-aged, because it's like, wow, like nobody's tried to soften you in the meantime. It's
yeah. Nice.
Nobody's tried to get you out of your shell.
I think he might be stupid.
You think he might be stupid?
I think he might be a little stupid. I've seen him do some stuff with like nature docs and stuff. I love him. He's Neo, and Matrix is my favorite movie. But
I've never seen The Matrix, actually.
Okay, do your plugs before I flip out.
Okay, we'll I do need Matrix to watch. Together. I know that it's foundational. WolkMindVirus2 on Instagram at StruggleBusLive is my show. That's my tea. That's my shade. If you're interested, follow me there. Do I have tour dates coming up? No. No current bookings. But follow me for more.
PunchUp.live/Jordan Jensen for all my tour dates. I have a giant summer fall tour coming up. Please buy tickets so that I may rest.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.